Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Welcome to another edition of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm Nick Riashi, and today I'll be speaking with Steve Johnson, who is the CEO and president of Alliance STL, which is a newly formed organization to focus on marketing for the 15-county St. Louis metropolitan area. Steve has over three decades of experience, and he firmly believes that creating more and better job opportunities is a change that will ripple through multiple generations. Let's listen in to Steve's interview. Well, Steve, I really appreciate you joining us on the podcast today. I want to dive right in. You know, what's the biggest challenge you see facing leaders today?
You know, I've thought about this question, and the word that always jumps out at me, and I think this is probably true, whether it's an economic development organization, which is, you know, where my career has been, but also business. And I always come back to the word alignment, you know, getting everybody pulling in the same direction, focus on the same primary objectives, you know, everybody willing to do their part. In an economic development environment, especially with a regional group like ours and several throughout the country, it's being able to entice and cajole and convince all the partners throughout your region, once again, pull in the same direction, everybody work toward the same greater good, and let the credit sort itself out at the end. And I think if you can achieve that, you can do great things.
And boy, that goes for everything. It's not just in your work life. It goes in your family and your friends. It's all, you know, as you bond together towards a common goal. I think that's really, really great advice.
Yeah.
So along those lines, what's one characteristic that, you know, helps that alignment come together? What's a characteristic you need as a leader in order to bring a team together? And is there an example in your life of someone that's, you know, been great at that?
You know, I settle on what I would just call impeccable or unquestionable integrity. Your team needs to know that you will never mislead them, that you'll be transparent, you'll not hide things from them, you'll look out for their best interest and, you know, to correct them, chide them every now and then as needed. But the same holds true for the clients that we work with. They need to know that we're being upfront, working to come up with a solution that works to their benefit. And then in organizations like ours, for the people who fund us, who make very substantial financial commitments, they've got to understand that we'll always be straight, that we'll talk about the good, bad, and the ugly, and that we'll never surprise them. So it's just impeccable integrity. And when I think back over my career, I have had the fortune of working with a lot of good people, but there's a few that stand out in my mind. But the one who really jumps to the fore is a gentleman now retired named Jim Anderson. Jim was a longtime chamber exec in Springfield, Missouri. He's got quite a reputation nationally in the chamber business, but it was just the way Jim carried himself. He set just such a high bar with his personal integrity. You never even needed to talk about things like that around the shop because everybody knew what was expected and knew what Jim would expect and what was the right thing to do. And everybody, it lifts everybody up because there's just no question about what's expected and how you are to comport yourself. And so that's a pretty good example that lives with me still today.
Just goes back to simple things like being transparent and leading by example. They sound so easy, but people sometimes forget to do that sort of thing. So I think that's really great advice.
Yeah.
So, you know, other than not doing those things, what's another behavior from leaders that you've seen kind of derail their career? And how do you guard against that? Tough question, I know.
Yeah, it is. And maybe it's the antithesis of the question I just answered, but comes once again down to the trait I've seen get people just all jammed up, and it's ego. In organizations like ours, which are, you know, funded by others, people in leadership positions sometimes forget it's not their organization. We talk about that all the time at our team meetings, that this is not our organization. It belongs to those who have written substantial checks for us to do this kind of work. It belongs to them. They look to us for leadership. They look for us to guidance and expertise. But ultimately, it's not our organization. Guarding against that is tough, and it's just constantly reminding yourself that, you know, this isn't yours. There was a book written, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. I think I probably read it at the time, But I've always remembered the way the book started. The book was A Purpose-Driven Life. It's written by an evangelist, I think, on the West Coast, a Rick Warren. But the first sentence is, it's not about you. And I just always try to, I don't have that written, put on my wall, but I just always try to remind myself, it's not about me. And if you can get out of your own way sometimes, I think you can, once again, do good things. And it's kind of back to this business about let the credit sort itself out. I've always been of the persuasion that, you know, if you do your job real well, the people who need to know who did these things, and this applies to the individuals and organizations, but the people who really need to know, they know. So you just don't have to go out there and beat the drums and beat your chest. So if you can remember that it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about us, you can do good things.
Well, I think that would be great advice leading into our next question. So I'm hoping you have a different piece of advice. When we talk about, you know, economic development, it's turning into, you know, we're seeing a younger group of people coming into the industry and they're getting into leadership positions pretty early on in their career. What's a piece of advice you would give, you know, someone going into a leadership role for the first time?
I would strongly recommend that you find a couple of more experienced leaders who you trust and admire, and just ask them to be on call as your, I don't know, call it your kitchen cabinet. It's something that I've done in previous positions and have done it here as well. And they can just be an invaluable sounding board to run tough issues by them. And I think what you'll find more often than not is that they end up affirming the direction you thought you wanted to go. But with that affirmation, you can then follow that course with a whole lot more confidence. But then every now and then, though, they're going to call you out on something and just red flag something that, you know, maybe you were just too close to it to see it. But they need to be good enough friends that they can call BS or just say, no, you don't want to go down that road. And I've been saved from a couple of blunders because of that.
Yeah, you need kind of an accountability partner sometimes, you know, Someone that, you know, maybe is even outside of your industry that, you know, you can talk to that is a non-biased opinion, I guess.
Well, for, you know, we're still a new organization, and next week I have a meeting set up with a couple of my board members, and they're gentlemen I'm just now getting to know, but at my next board meeting, we need to present and talk about organizational metrics. And so I'm doing exactly this with these two people from my board who have both been very successful in their careers. And I just want to sit down with them and talk about the approach that I think I'm going to take with our new board. And I've asked them, I said, you gotta blow the whistle if you think this doesn't resonate or doesn't communicate with the board the way it needs to. And so it works. It helps.
Well, in economic development now, you know, metrics are different than they were even 10, 15 years ago. You know, your measures of success have changed a little bit. Are there any that you can share with us that you think are important now?
So Alliance STL was formed to be very narrowly focused on marketing and business recruitment. So to that end, we are still going to be proposing as baseline for us some very transaction-oriented milestones. And that's really as phase one, just as we're really getting our legs under us as an organization. I think the phases that go after that will be some project specific or some moonshot goals that are very specific to the industry sectors that, you know, we will focus on. There will be a few community-based objectives that we will have a role in. So those will be held out as multi-year targets as well. And then I'm really employing and trying to kind of populate with some of our regional partners the idea of setting a very big, ambitious regional goal that all the economic development community can buy into that really would be symbolic as much as anything, but it would be a way to come together around a common goal and demonstrate the impact of regional economic development. And it's not everybody taking, you know, it's not taking credit for things you didn't do, but it's everybody kind of putting their successes into the same bucket and just rally around just a great big freaking goal that could possibly pull the region together. But that one's not developed yet, so we're still working through that.
Steve, it sounds like you have your hands full there. You know, how do you find time to continue to develop yourself and develop as a leader and grow?
Honestly, that's something I've been a little neglectful of that over the past few years, but I'm determined to make amends, because I think you do need, and I think you need to be with colleagues and just bounce ideas off each other. But in the interim, just a small thing that I have found to be very helpful is just this. For years, I've subscribed. I don't even know if they print a magazine anymore. It's all online. But the Harvard Business Review, I mean, just their daily tips and articles. And it's just a library right at your fingertips for monographs about personnel issues, strategy, leadership. So I lean on that. It's kind of a daily read for me. But so that's kind of my next year resolution, is to get back active again in some of the professional groups that I used to be more active in.
Yeah, and they have some really great case studies too, that you can really learn great stories of of great leaders. So that's great. Yep. So economic development, you see a lot of change. You know, I know you've seen a lot in your community, and you see, you know, a lot of leaders leaving different communities to go to, you know, other organizations. You know, they leave the profession altogether. How do you know when it's time to step aside and to change jobs?
Well, the smart aleck in me would say when you pull in the parking garage and your pass no longer makes the gate go up. You know, but when there comes a time, if you have lost confidence in your ability to make a difference for the community or the region or the state that you work for, if you've lost confidence in your ability to make a difference, or you perceive that your leadership has lost confidence in you, I think you know it's time. You know, someone told me a long, long time ago that in this business we're in, you should just about never let yourself get fired. I mean, the warning signs are out there. And when, if you know, leadership decides to make a change, it's rarely a surprise. So I think everybody can witness signs when it's changed. But sometimes it's just, once again, the business we're in, if you're ambitious and want to take a bigger job, there's typically just one job in any community that is like the job you have. And so for good or bad, sometimes this business we're in requires a bit of mobility. So sometimes you just know you've outgrown something and it's time to take on the next challenge.
So Steve, what are you most proud of in your career?
You know, I've worked for a couple of people that I just think were tremendous. And I've had some good success in hiring some people and working with them in the early parts of their career. And so it just thrills me to see some of the people that I've worked with, people that I've, you know, brought on board and helped a little bit along the way, but to see them go on to have great success. Yeah, so it makes me think that maybe I really do have a bit of an eye for talent, maybe a good judge of character, and probably most of all that I managed not to screw them up too badly somewhere along the way. But that's just real. That just makes me happy.
Sometimes being a leader is just being a great coach. Yep. You see it even in sports. You know, I mean, the players that are playing for great coaches, they bring out the best in their players. And I think if you can bring out the best in those that you're leading, you're doing your job. So I think that's really great.
Good.
Well, Steve, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today on the podcast. And thanks for, you know, inspiring our audience to be great leaders.
Great. Well, thanks for the time.
Hey everyone, this is Carla, and I really enjoyed the interview that Nick just had with Steve Johnson. I'm also really excited about next week. You're going to want to tune in. Next week, I get the chance to talk to Philip Marshall from Navigator Consulting. And for those of you that may not be familiar with Philip, he lives in Germany and works for Navigator Consulting and primarily works with their European client base as they look to make investments in the United States. And he is early on in his career, but I think you'll find his leadership insights to be really fascinating. So tune in for next week's interview with Philip Marshall.